If someone were to ask you what signs you would expect to see if a person's Christian life was waning, what would you give as signs of evidence of that? Maybe they don't pray as much as they used to. Maybe they aren't in church as often as they once were. Or possibly their Bible reading has trickled down to almost nothing. Or maybe they aren't so kind or so caring as they used to be. But I would answer the question in a way that might surprise you. I would say that a sure sign that one's faith is waning is that the person is not thankful. They're just not a thankful person. And I would offer the following reason why I believe that a lack of thankfulness is a sure sign of an anemic Christian life. The reason is that a Christian should understand better than anyone that we've received so much when we deserve so little. Christians are sinners by nature and by action. We know that better than anyone. And yet we've received forgiveness and salvation in spite of our sinfulness. This truth should cause us to be the most thankful people in the world. If we're not characterized by thankfulness as believers in Christ, then something is wrong. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 13, we're told that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of his Son. We've been ushered out of darkness, and we've been ushered in to spiritual light. This passage goes on to say that in the Son of God we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. This alone should make us grateful and deeply thankful people. So, if we're not thankful, then something is wrong, because we should be. Thankfulness is a common attitude in the Bible, and we learn some important things about thankfulness by just looking at where it occurs in the Bible. So I thought on this Sunday before Thanksgiving, we would take just a few minutes and look at some brief passages and learn a few things about Thanksgiving and the attitude of thankfulness. So as we begin, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for every opportunity to explore your word, to explore its truth, to see what you have revealed to us, to see what we should know as believers. We pray that you'd give us insight, that you give us clarity of understanding, and then a willingness to live out what we know. And we commit our time to you as we look at your word together through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, there are dozens of places in the Bible, as you would guess, where thankfulness and thanksgiving and thanks appear. But we don't have time to look at dozens of passages this morning, so I chose four, just four. And the first one is a familiar story to you, no doubt, of the time when Jesus was traveling toward Jerusalem along the border between Judea and Samaria. And we read about this in Luke chapter 17, starting at verse 12, where it says, "As Jesus was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him." Now, there are several things that we can glean from this passage, but one thing is that thankfulness is not just an attitude we should have, but it's an action we should take. Now, there's nothing in this passage that indicates that 9 of the 10 men who had leprosy and were healed were not thankful. I've actually heard sermons on the fact that 9 of the 10 were not thankful. But it's a presumption, because the passage doesn't say 9 of the 10 were not thankful. They may have been, they may not have been. It just doesn't say. What it does say is that 1 out of the 10 came back and offered thanks to Jesus for his healing. And the one who came back and the one who offered his thanks was the one that was commended. The lesson we learn is that thankfulness should not only be felt, but it should be expressed. In fact, one of the best-known psalms of thankfulness is Psalm 100. And in verse 4 of Psalm 100, it says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." Now, entering his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise is about an attitude of thanksgiving. It's about an attitude of thankfulness. And that's how we should enter God's presence, with an attitude of thankfulness and thanksgiving. Very important to have an attitude of thankfulness. But apparently, an attitude of thankfulness is not enough, or it would have stopped there. But notice it goes on. Give thanks to him and praise his name. So an attitude of thankfulness is revealed, and it's expressed through verbal giving of thanks and through verbal offering of praise. Now, one is an important attitude to have, while the other is an important action to take. Being thankful and giving thanks are both important, and we should do both, but we shouldn't confuse them. They are not the same thing. Being thankful is not the same as giving thanks. The scriptures tell us to have an attitude of thankfulness, but it doesn't stop there. It says we should express our thankfulness as well. The next passage I chose may be the only case in the Bible where being thankful is actually not commended. And this is because it's thankfulness for the wrong thing. It comes from Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in chapter 18 of the book of Luke. Here's what it says. "To some who were confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other people.'" Can you imagine that? "God, I'm so thankful that I'm not like everyone else." I'm sure God was so impressed when he heard that. "I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector." He's probably going like this guy. "But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God.'" So we should be thankful. Yes, we should be. But we should not be thankful that we're righteous. Very important. Or that we're holier or better than everyone else. The point is not that we're better than others. The point is that none of us are as good as we should be. That's the point of the parable. All of us are worthy of judgment and condemnation of our sin. Both the Pharisee and the tax collector were worthy of judgment and condemnation, but one of them was aware of it. The other one was not. What we should be thankful for is that God is merciful to us, that he's gracious to us. Not thankful that we're righteous in and of ourselves, because we're not. We never were, and we never will be. So, if we're going to be thankful, and we should be, And if we're going to express thanks, which we should be careful to make sure that we're thankful about the right thing and not the wrong thing. There's a third aspect of thankfulness that we learn that comes from Psalm 106. In fact, David and the other writers of Scripture, and the Psalms in particular, were deeply grateful and thankful men. And the Psalms, as you know, are replete with words of thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. But one of the simplest and the most direct is Psalm 106, verse 1. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." Now, this expression teaches us that God is worthy of our thankfulness for two reasons: because of who he is, and because of what he's done and what he does. Now, God has many qualities, as you know, but one of his qualities is goodness. You see, God defines goodness. He is the definition, he's the embodiment of goodness, and everything else is a mere shadow of God's goodness. A tiny, tiny representation of goodness. But God is the ultimate meaning and defining of goodness. So being thankful for God's goodness is one way of being thankful for who God is. It's his character. It's part of who he is. But who God is finds expression in what he does. And what God does is love. That's what he does. His love is so constant, it's so consistent, and it's so lasting that the psalmist in 106 reminds us that it endures forever. Forever. And we will need more than a lifetime to thank God for who he is and for what he's done, and for who we will remain always, and for what he will continue to do into eternity. Lastly, not only are we thankful for who God is and for what God does, but we're thankful for each other too. Now, Paul, like David, was a thankful man. And in his New Testament letters, and as you know, Paul wrote more than half of the entire New Testament, he makes it clear that he was thankful for his fellow believers, too. He was grateful for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And one example I pulled from Ephesians chapter 1. Now, there are many, many examples we could look at, but I chose the one from Ephesians 1, verse 16, where Paul prays for his fellow believers in Ephesus. But before he offers the prayer, he says, "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." You see, Paul was thankful for his friends. He was thankful for his ministry partners. He was thankful for his Christian brothers and sisters, and he was deeply thankful for the encouragement that he received from those God brought into his life. You can't read the letters of Paul and not see that he was a thankful man. In fact, when we get to Romans 16, you know, 20, 21 years from now, you will see. I knew that's what you were thinking anyway, so I just went ahead and said it. But we're about to get to 12, so it probably won't be that long. But in chapter 16, practically the entire chapter is Paul's expression of thanks for the people that God has sent into his life. Now, you've heard me say plenty of times that friendship is one of life's greatest gifts. That life can get tough, and friends make the tough times easier to bear. I came across this quote not that long ago, and it just, I mean, when I read it, it just, you ever read something that kind of jumps off the page? Here's what it says. "In everyone's life at some time, our inner fire goes out and is rekindled by a spark from another person. Each of us has cause to think with deep gratitude of those who have lighted the fire within us. Albert Schweitzer said that. We all need friends, don't we? We all need good friends. David needed them. This is the king of Israel. He needed friends, and you know what? He had some. Paul needed good friends, and he had some too. And many of them are listed in Romans 16. I need them. You need them. And they can make all the difference on the journey. Now, we don't need a holiday to be thankful, right? Can I say that with some confidence? We don't need a holiday to be thankful. But a holiday can remind us that we should be thankful. Thankfulness should characterize every true believer. The 10 lepers, especially one of them, remind us that thankfulness is not just an attitude to have, but it's an action to take. So, with all due respect, if you're thankful, act like it. Act like it. And say so, because if you don't say so, it's anybody's guess whether you are or not. The Pharisee reminds us that we must be thankful for the right things. Not thankful that we're better than everyone else, but thankful for God's grace, despite the fact that we're all too much like everyone else. Truth be told, we're a whole lot more like them than we are unlike them. So let's be thankful for what we should be thankful for. And we're thankful for who God is and what God does, for who He's always been and always will be, for God's enduring commitment to love us, not just now, but forever into eternity. And thankful for each other, for those God brings into our lives that make our journey easier and more pleasant, so we don't have to make the journey alone. I don't want to make the journey alone. Am I the only one? I suspect you don't want to make the journey alone either. Thankfulness should characterize every true believer. If you're a true believer and you're not thankful, something's wrong. Bells and whistles should be going off because something's wrong. Every Christian should not only have a thankful heart, but express their thankfulness willingly, cheerfully, and regularly. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we trust we don't need a holiday to remind us that we should be thankful. But we'll take it just the same, because the fact is, we probably do need to be reminded to be thankful. And thankfulness is something that should characterize every true believer, because we have so much to be thankful for. And if we only had redemption, if that was all we had, the forgiveness of our sins, being transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of your Son, we would have enough to be thankful for eternity. And yet we have so much more than that. And so, Lord, will you teach us to be thankful people, to have thankful hearts, and we know it starts there, but to not just have thankful hearts, but to act on our thankfulness. Because thankfulness, in the end, is not just an attitude that we should have. It's an action we should take. So remind us of all that we have to be thankful for, and then we pray that you'd prompt us to express it, that you might be honored and praised through Christ our Lord. Amen.